which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. I was in a muffler shop today, and the man was a Christian, went to Baptist church, and he's very forward about witnessing, and I had heard that they were Christians, and he's got wrote right over his business, muffler shop by the grace of God. Amen. That's enough to get me in. I mean, that'll run a lot of folks off, you know, but that's enough to get me in. Amen. And he told me something that touched my heart. I've been reading this verse today, and I don't know what to call this other than, have you restored your man? Amen. If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. Have you restored your man? The one that God brought to you. The one that God. Sister Shirley told last night about how that they were in that service in that home where they minister. That young pastor out in Oklahoma was ministering once a week in that home where they... this rich woman provided a place to sleep, live for homeless people on the streets. And how that they were in that service that night, and how that she saw that little Mexican man passing the windows, and the Spirit of God spoke to her and said, go get him. And said he walked on past every window and the door, and said the Spirit of God spoke to her and said, go get him. So finally there was nothing she could do but run outside, and he had already got down the street a little ways, and she ran out and hollered, hey, you got to come in here. And he said he couldn't come in. Finally she over-persuaded him and compelled him to come in that meeting, and he got saved that night. He thought he couldn't. He thought nobody cared. He thought he couldn't get right with God. Couldn't. He didn't have time to stop. But God run him down. And after it's all over, she said, a brother in the church said, God told me to go get him, but I didn't do it. And she went because a man wouldn't go. Have you restored your man today? Now back to my story. I was in the muffler shop today. A Christian man said, do you know Art up at Art's used auto parts? I said, yeah. Said he died last night with a heart attack. You know what I'm talking about? Oxford State Road, Art's Salvage Yard. Amen. Been there? Been to the muffler shop too? Amen. The man that owns it said, God spoke to me the other day and told me to witness that man. And the tears in his eyes, he said, I didn't do it. I didn't do it. He said, God told me to witness to two men. And he said, I did witness to one. But he said, I didn't witness to Art. And now he's dead. Amen. Have you restored your man that God has brought across your path and spoke to you to speak to him about Jesus? Amen. I wish I could say, I've restored my man. How about you? I thought about preaching on this subject, you know, calling it this. I restored my man. Now what are you going to do with him? Amen. Because a lot of times when you restore somebody, ain't nobody else got any confidence in what you've done. But they didn't do nothing. Amen. They ought to be glad that somebody done something. You know what the average run-of-the-mill Holy Joe in church does when you restore somebody? They talk about them. You're working with somebody and trying to help this family to become a full-fledged holiness family. Amen. And mouths going like this in the background. I mean prominent people in church. Preachers. Preachers' wives. Amen. They didn't do nothing but talk. Amen. That's all they know how to do. That's where they really shine, is criticizing. Amen. Hey, you better be careful. God might have saved them since you saw them last. God might have brought them in since you saw them last. Better keep your mouth shut. Amen. You're liable to go to hell yourself. Amen. Because you didn't do God's will. Amen. He said, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And then he said, bear you one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. You start restoring people. Amen. If they don't do it, they don't think it's been done. Amen. But hey, you're not the only one God speaks to. If you don't do it, God will speak to somebody else to do it. Tell somebody else to do it. Amen. Brother Corn had major problems at the church there at Phelps because the lady who was the church boss there in the church at Phelps and had been for years, amen, Brother Corn went there. He decided to be pastor, and they didn't have a piano player, and they had a lady in the church that could play the piano, and Brother Corn put her up and got her to play on the piano every service. But the official piano player, according to the church boss, wasn't there, so they shouldn't play the piano at all. They was taking her job. Amen. I mean, and had major problems over it. Major rift in the church over it because the pastor decided to be the pastor. Hey, they can't but two people pastor this church. And you shut your mouth and let my sheep alone. I'll handle them. You shut up. Amen. I don't care if her hair is 2 inches long. Shut your mouth. I'll pull your stupid tongue out and nail it to the wall. Amen. I know who you are. Amen. I know what you've been doing. Amen. And hey, praise God, I am the pastor of this church. And I have restored my man. What are you going to do with him? Try to throw him out because of the past? Amen. Amen. You may think you know how to do it better. No, you don't. If you're not the shepherd over a flock, you don't know how to do it better. Amen. I don't care if you're the preacher's wife. You still don't have the feel of the thing like a pastor does. Amen. So sometimes I have to straighten out my sweet little wife that we've been married 44 years. I can do that. Amen. And amen. He that soweth discord among the brethren is a hated individual in the eyes of God. Huh? I tell somebody something in good confidence, you know. Tell them what I've done to help a certain brother. And by the time it gets to that certain brother, I'm working against him. And he stands up in this church, amen, and says, I know so-and-so and so-and-so, throwing it at the pastor. He's not here anymore. Amen. Because that brother told it to somebody else, and they got the news to him. Amen. And all I'd done was try to help him. All I had done was front for him. But when it got to him, I was trying to injure his good name. No, I saved it instead. But the one that sowed discord didn't get it to him that way. Amen. I saved his good name by going to bat for him and hedging for him three different times, and was able to restore at least some of his children momentarily. I restored them. I did my part. Amen. But I'm not always restored. Wes D. Hart was a friend of mine in Alto Pass, Illinois. Roy Hickam had a store and a gas station, and did service on automobiles and sold some feed and a few groceries. Roy Hickam was one of my board members, mayor of the little town of Alto Pass. I could boast that I had the mayor of the town in my church. Wes D. Hart and his cousins, they all went with us on those fishing trips down to Kentucky Dam. Wes was unmarried, lived with his mother, up in his 40s. Amen. Wes had never married. One day I felt led to talk to Wes about the Lord. We was down at Hickam's garage. Wes was sitting on a barrel keg or something or other, and a box or something in the garage, and I said, "Wes, are you a Christian? Where do you go to church?" He said, "I go to the Baptist church when I go." I looked over at Brother Roy Hickam and I said, "Don't sound like he goes very much, does it?" But because I knew the Baptist preacher and I didn't want to be accused of being a proselyter, I cut it short, Brother Denver. Amen. And I went on. That was Tuesday at 10 o'clock. Saturday night, Wes came in from being out with the guys. About midnight, climbed the stairs at his mother's house. And Wes was heard struggling about 1 o'clock by his mother. She went upstairs and it was too late. Wes was dead. On Saturday night, 1 o'clock in the morning, really Sunday morning, Wes D. Hart died. And I was the last one to speak to him about the Lord. Amen. I wish I'd have done better. Amen. But a couple of times I've tried, but I didn't try hard enough. I didn't compel them to come. Amen. But I learned something from that, folks, that this might be your last chance. Amen. You may not get another chance. Huh? Praise God. Paul restored Philemon. He restored him not only to the Lord and the grace of Christ, amen, got him saved, but he restored him to his owner. Sent him with a letter to Philemon, hand-borne by Onesimus himself. Amen. Onesimus was a runaway slave, and Philemon was the master. I think he got it started wrong there. I don't always catch him. Sometimes I call Noah Moses, and Moses Noah. Amen. Sometimes I get my tongue tangled around my IT and can't see what I'm saying. And sometimes there's so many thoughts running through my mind, my mouth don't get in the right gear. And so, amen, sometimes I tell Billy, "Why in the world don't you edit those mistakes out of those tapes?" Amen. I guess it wasn't that he was too lazy to do it. He said, "They need to know that we're human just like anybody else." Amen. And so, amen, the mistakes have gone out to the farthest reaches of the earth. Philemon was the master. Onesimus was the runaway slave. Amen. And Paul was sending him home. And Paul in his letter is really saying, I've restored him to Christ and I've restored him to you. And because he's a Christian now and I've restored him, Philemon, what are you going to do with him? And Philemon could have done one of a number of things. He could have tied him to a post and lawfully whipped him. Amen. He could have had him tried in court and sent off to prison for stealing from him and leaving. Or he could extend the restoration just a little bit farther. Amen. And praise God. I want to think, and I'm pretty sure Philemon did, when Paul told him to treat Onesimus just like you would treat me. I think he did the right thing, don't you? Amen. I'm sure he did. Amen. How would I treat Paul if he came to my house? Why, come here, Onesimus. And Philemon begins to get the pan of water down and take the form of a servant. If Paul came to my house, I'd wash his feet. Amen. And so that's just exactly what he did, probably. He washed Onesimus' feet. If Paul came to my house, amen, I'd invite him to the table and have him fix something special for him. Hey, come on, Onesimus. Amen. Let's fix something special. Amen. What would you like tonight? I want to think Onesimus did that. What would you do? What would I do if somebody that I tried to help had robbed me? Now, amen, he's wound up down here in some jail with Rick Bradley because Rick Bradley, amen, has preached on the streets and they've put him in jail. Amen. And Rick has won him to the Lord. Amen. And sends him back. And what would I do? Amen. I would think, well, he ought to pay back what he owes me. But then, wait a minute. Jesus told us to forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. Woo, hallelujah. Amen. Kind of hard to do that sometimes, ain't it, Brother Johnson? You've been there, haven't you? Amen. Yes, we got to learn to forgive. Praise God. And after all, time is what heals most ills anyway. Amen. Well, praise God, Paul restored Onesimus. Philemon, what are you going to do with him? Amen. I've helped restore some here at the Highway of Holiness. Amen. I'm glad that I participated in a restoration service right here in church and with the Pentecostal Ministerial Association and at the church across the street for John Carter. I'd have felt awful bad if I'd have stubbed up, amen, and not tried to restore John to fellowship, amen, and cordiality, and remove that wall between he and his family, amen, even though as far as long-term fellowship, there were probably too many rivers to cross, and they, for the most part, couldn't cross them to have fellowship with holiness folks. I'm glad that for my part, I restored him in my heart. I restored John Carter. Any other pastor wouldn't have given him the time of day. A lot of other preachers still didn't have any faith in what we did. Amen. That's their hard luck. Amen. I restored him. What are you going to do with him? Amen. Hey, I'll tell you what you're asking for. You're asking for a sad reaping. If any man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. You know what we are? Zero. We're nothing. We're nothing except what we are in Christ and Him alone, what Christ has done for us. Zero. Amen. Nothing. We haven't got any kick. Amen. And woe be unto us when we get so holier than thou that we can't preach Christ and Him crucified. And the cross and the old crossroads. And that the levels, the ground's level at Calvary. Hallelujah. And whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. Hallelujah. Woo! Woe be unto us. We're asking for it. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Jimmy, it's in the same context. The restoration. Amen. Jimmy's talking about context a while ago. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I've restored my man. It's up to him what he does with himself from here on out. Amen. He had beat debts across the country. But man, was he ever a preacher? Amen. And maybe he just had a hard time, like a lot of preachers do. And so they decided to nominate him as the camp speaker at Barberville, Kentucky. I was on the board. For many years, I was on the board. Amen. Well, Martin Cupp in London, Kentucky was one of the ones that he owed money for furniture he hadn't bought. Well, Gene Huff and the boys got together and talked to Martin. Oh, he said, forget all about that. Said, don't let me hold you up. Said, go ahead and have him. He said, that's all right. Amen. You know what we did? We restored him. We had him to preach Barberville. And then I nominated him to preach the Granite City camp meeting. Amen. And then he got acquainted with the folks at Kansas City. A walking Bible. Amen. He didn't have much credit, but boy, he could preach the Word of God. Amen. A walking Bible. Hallelujah. He wound up in Kansas City pastoring a big free Pentecostal church in Kansas City. Amen. That one split and he built another church there in Kansas City, and I went to Holy Him Revival and eventually resigned, and I became the pastor of the Silverwood Full Gospel Tabernacle. You reap what you sow after a while. I helped restore him. Now I'm pastoring a beautiful church that he built after we restored him. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Amen. It's easy for a dog to bark at the moon, but the moon's still there. Any old pup can bark at the moon, but he won't alter its course. And there's a whole lot of little bitty Christians that make themselves big by talking about others that they ought to be trying to help. Amen. That they ought to be trying to bless. Hey, how many have you lifted out of the gutter? I believe in going out and lift them out of the gutter. What if they just recently fell out of church and fell into sin? How far are you going to let them go before you try to get them back? Amen. Don't let them get all the way in the gutter if you can help it. And if they come back, let them come back to open arms to Father's house. Praise God. Hey, Paul restored his man Philemon. What are you going to do with him? Praise God. Amen. Well, I tell you what I'm going to do with him, Paul. I'm going to forgive him just like you did. And we're going to make a brand new start. Amen. The church don't need to do too much cooperating with the state. They don't need to cooperate with youth and family services. The church don't need to cooperate with the various governmental authorities along some lines. Amen. Because you might tear up a home that God has mended. You see, those people are up there working at a job, and all they know how to do is convict. If they can get the goods on anybody, no matter what God's grace has done for them, they'll tear that home to smithereens. And they'll send that man off to prison that was making a living for his family and paying taxes. And they'll put that woman and her kids out on the street and out of their house, amen, living on welfare, living at the mercy of the state, because some dumb church member felt it their duty to report the past to the government. Far as I'm concerned, that's stupid. Amen. And as far as I'm concerned, that church is stupid. Amen. I mean, God's grace applied to a life, a home, a family. Amen. And then, what do you do when you find out that that man has broken the law in the past? Amen. You give him a chance. Amen. Pray for him. He straightens his life out at the altar and the pastor's working with him. Amen. Don't go over that pastor's head where he's going to church and report him to the authorities. Well, what do you do when they report crimes of the past? Amen. You turn your head and act like you don't hear. Say, I didn't hear nothing. You don't go off and gab and blab to your neighbor. Amen. Hallelujah. You give that family a chance. They might not make it. He might not make it. He might flub up again. And you may have to forgive him again. He might mess up the third time and you may have to forgive him again. Because people are prone to go back to the sins that they one time were in. They'll usually, almost always, when they backslide, go back to that same lifestyle they was in. Amen. Homosexual will usually go back to homosexuality. Adulterer will usually go back to adultery. And chasing women or men, whichever the case may be. Amen. Nowadays, you know, it's not enough to say you don't chase women. There's so much homosexuality today. Amen. You need to make it clear that you don't chase men neither. Amen. Amen. But once in a while, one of them gets delivered. Huh? What are you going to do with them? Amen. When they get delivered, give them a chance. Hallelujah. Restore them if they can. And if they don't make it, don't let it be your fault. Do what you can. Amen. Well, it'll bring a reproach on me. No, you're nothing to start with. You ain't worth 2 cents and a hoot and a holler to start with. Ain't none of us worth anything to start with. God picked us up out of the mud to start with. Praise God. Amen. Hey, hallelujah. Let him be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Okay, what if a man does that you restored take advantage of you? Here's one for him. He that soweth to his flesh shall out of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall out of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Amen. Brother Collins, you're kind of dumb about some people. Like, no, I just act that way on purpose. I found out one way you pastor a modern church today is keep one ear stopped up and one eye shut and give God a chance to work in the lives of men. Amen. I can do some things from the pulpit that folks will understand because I'm the pastor and the shepherd and care for the sheep. And they know I love them. I can say some things that you can't say because they would credit it to a wrong motivation. Amen. You'd have the wrong motive in saying it. Amen. So there's some things you need to leave up to the pastor. We was in a board meeting, and we was seesawing back and forth on a big issue a few years ago. Amen. Brother Setzer made a wise statement. He said, I think we should leave it in the hands of the pastor. And when you don't know what to do, and most of the time you don't, you need to leave it in the hands of the pastor. It's awful hard for a flock of sheep, amen, to correct one another sometimes. Amen. They won't take it from nobody but the man of God. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm not talking about you mothers correcting your children. I'm not talking about you fathers correcting your children. I'm not talking about your husbands. Amen. Straightening your wives out. I hadn't been here too long. I just couldn't stay off of it. I got to preaching against short hair and breeches on women. Amen. First board meeting we had about 17 or 18 on the board at that time. Amen. And then we passed a law that the trustees have to fulfill all the qualifications of deacons, because at that time you could be a trustee of this church and not have too many qualifications. And some of them didn't. Amen. And so we've now got in the bylaws that the trustee has to have same qualifications, Bible qualifications, as deacons. Amen. But anyway, these two men chimed in the board meeting and said, we're in the doghouse. Why? Said, well, because of the way you preached. One brother said, my wife, she wears pants because they're warmer. And another one said, I have to look out for the solvency of the church. Probably neither one of them gave anything since they left. We haven't missed anything in the way of money. Amen. But a lot of times the folks that yell the loudest give the least when it comes to supporting the work of God. Amen. Well, I said, if you guys would be men like you're supposed to be, amen, lying your wives out at the house, amen, I wouldn't have to preach near as much. So now we're 23 and a half years down the road, and the men are a little more men, and I only have to mention it occasionally like I did tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. And some folks are going to do as they please no matter what anybody says. Come on. Amen. You're going to reap what you sow to. He that soweth to his flesh shall out of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall out of the Spirit reap everlasting. Be not weary in well-doing. What? What kind of well-doing? Restoring. Amen. Jesus met a stranger at the well while the disciples were going to get bread. Her life was messed up. As bad or worse than any of you when you got saved. Amen. And Jesus told that woman her life story sitting on that well. She caught on fire for God, praise God, and got converted and went tearing through the city, praise God, and said, come and see the man that told me everything I ever done is not this the Christ. Hallelujah. And the first herald, hallelujah, in Samaria was that converted adulteress. Shacking up with a man right then. Amen. She went to the city crying out, come and see the man. They did. She kept crying out, come and see the man. They said, you don't have to tell us now. We've heard him ourselves. Amen. We've seen him for ourselves. Praise God. Amen. Hey, hallelujah. And a whole bunch of them got saved. Years later, Philip would be running for his life from persecution in Jerusalem, and he would wind up in Samaria. Amen. And all Samaria would get converted to Christ. What is that? That's reaping what you sowed. Jesus started the sowing. Amen. And Philip reaped it. Hallelujah. And Peter and John came down and got in on it. Amen. And all of Samaria got saved. Hallelujah. And so Jesus said, now, Philip, you've got in on this big harvest you've sowed now. You've got in on the reaping of what I sowed now. I want you to do some sowing yourself. Go down to the desert. Amen. Gaza. Amen. In the Gaza Strip. And so Philip, he went down to the desert, and there he found the Ethiopian eunuch traveling back to the south where he came from. Amen. God said, Spirit spoke to Philip and said, go join yourself to the chariot. One preacher said, that's the only place in the Bible where I ever hear him telling you to join anything. Amen. Philip joined himself to the chariot, and amen, he was trotting along beside the chariot and said, what are you reading? He said, I'm reading the book of Isaiah. I said, is he talking about himself or somebody else? Amen. And that's just all Philip doing. So he hopped up on the chariot with him. Amen. And they're both riding along now. Praise God. And Philip preached unto him Christ. Hallelujah. And he said, I believe. Philip wasn't quite ready. He wasn't done preaching yet, but he cut his message short. Said, I believe. Here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Why, he said, you can if you believe with all your heart. Hallelujah. Amen. And Philip baptized him. Glory to God. And the Ethiopian eunuch went sailing off down to the south. Amen. Northern Egypt. And you know what? When they came into Ethiopia, years later, they found a Christian community already established because Philip had sowed good seed in his heart. And the Ethiopian eunuch, hallelujah,